Okay, let's get into Megillas Esther, Perek Zayin, as we continue with the exciting plot. And this is the demise of Haman Perek. Of course, the king and Haman have been invited by Esther for the second Suuda, and they come to the Suuda, and Esther, Achashverosh again says, Ma she'elatech Esther, Amalka, v'tzinasin loch, ad chatzi amalchus, and Esther says, if I find favor in your eyes, you know, I have a question, I have a request, because if my nation was just avadin, that would be okay, but they're lahashpil laharug la'abed. And what happens? The king says, who is this? And Esther says, none other than Haman Arasha. And Haman is scared, he jumps, the king goes out to take a walk. Haman pleads his case with Esther Amalka. It's not always noticed. It doesn't happen right away that the king says, hang Haman. He goes to take a walk. He pleads with Esther. The king comes back in, and Haman falls onto the bed where Esther is. The king says, Hagam lichboshes Amalki mi babayis. And Haman's face is then covered. Charvona says, well, there's the tree that Haman wanted to use for Mordechai. Great idea, says Achashverosh. Haman is hanged on the tree, and the king's anger subsides. That's the Perek Zion. Now let's get into some of the details of the Perek. So by Yom Ramelach Esther Gamba Yom Hasheni B'mishte Hayayin. The king says to Esther again on the second day B'mishte Hayayin. It's amazing B'mishte Hayayin. He's calmed. Remember, right beforehand he was all, as we spoke about, according to many Mefarshim, he's thinking maybe Haman wants to kill him. Maybe Haman wants to have Esther as a queen. Maybe all of the words that Haman used in the previous perek, describing what the king should do with somebody who he thinks of highly. He should wear the king's clothing and he should ride the king's horse. He already thinks that Haman is out to get him. But the Mishte Hayayin, once he gets drunk, once he drinks, he's happy and he's calm. And he asks Esther, what could I do for you? Rabbi Lamb, just on this pasuk in his Sefer, The Majesty of Mystery, talks about, you know, the pursuit of happiness is something that the founding fathers of America said is one of the goals of life. Judaism does not believe in the pursuit of happiness unless you redefine happiness. Because happiness, according to many, means fun and feel good. But happiness in Judaism is never associated with that. Happiness is, simcha is associated with yantif, lifnei Hashem, being close to Hashem. To be happy, says Rabbi Lamb, in the Jewish sense, right? What did he do here? He drunk to try to get rid of it and allay his fears. But to be happy in the Jewish sense, says Rabbi Lamb, does not mean to ignore life's hardships and pain. Instead, it means the knowledge that we are not alone in our difficulties, that God sympathizes with us, that our pain is not senseless. Simcha means that there is hope, or better, that there is meaning in life. Better pain that is purposeful than pleasure that is pointless. Better a hard life hallowed by a touch of holiness than a soft life in which man sinks into swamps of sensuality and which ultimately drives him insane from solitude. A lot of S's in there. And Rabbi Lamb, that's what he said. This is what he did. Because this is what Achashverosh, how he deals with his difficulties. But he asks Esther, Ma she'elatech Esther amalka v'sinasin lach u'ma bakashaseich. What are you asking? We spoke in the last parak, the difference between a she'ela and a bakasha. Archatzi amalchus. Remember, he won't give the Beis HaMikdash. He already stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That he's not ready to give. Vatan Esther amalka v'tomar. Imatzazichei menech amelach v'malam melech tov. Tinasin li nafshi b'she'elasi v'ami b'bakashasi. It's about me, but it's about my nation. Kinim karnu aniva ami. We were so lahashmid laharug la'abed. Remember, 3 days ago he signed the proclamation. It's not like months and years. You have to remember the story. 3 days ago he gave Haman the right to, you know, do whatever you want. But somehow Achashverosh forgot. Somehow it wasn't on Achashverosh's mind. How many nations has he let Haman destroy? But miraculously, he does not remember. If we were sold as avadim or shvachos, I would be silent. Because this tsara, this Haman, doesn't care about being mazik the king. Rashi quotes the name of Chazal. It would be much better for you, king, to have us as avadim, paying taxes, working for you, just destroying the nation. How does that help you? But Haman doesn't. This evil man doesn't care about that. Eino choshesh b'nezek hamelech shiluradav achar anatcha hayalo lomar mecharot tam la'avadim v'lishvachos v'kabel amamon oach yeosam lios locha la'avadim heim v'zara. But he doesn't care about that. That is the her, that is her claim. If you look in the Brisker Rav, Al HaTorah, in the back, he has 2 pages on the Megillah. See, he says there that if you look in the, some of the Targumim, we mentioned in the Hagdama, there are a number of Targumim on Megillah Esther. If you look in the Targum Sheni, part of the Gzera was that you weren't allowed to buy a Jew as an Eved to try to save their life. Gazar Shekomi Sheyikne Yudi Levet L'Shivcha Yehare Kamoso. It's like the Nazis, Rahman al-Islan, right? Not so lahavdil. But whoever harbors a Jew also gets killed. That was also in the rule book. And that's, it was Mekuyim, the pasuk in the Tochacha, v'ismakartem ve'ein koneh. And that's what Rashi quotes in Megillah. And that's what she says, that there's no way out. Ki na'alu b'fneyam gamatzal azul ismaker la'avadim v'lishvachos. If you look in the back of the Oev Yisrael, right, the Oev Yisrael, the Apter Rav, in the last 2 pages, he has a couple of likutim. So he has one thought on Megillas Esther. Two thoughts, I'm sorry, Megillas Esther. So he says there, he says, what's the lashon of nimkarnu, if we would have nimkarnu echreisi? Why would that would have been better, obviously, but why does Esther even bring that in here? And what's Achashverosh's reaction right after she says this? She says, he gets so angry. See, Pashas, he's angry because who could do this to my queen who I love so much? But remember, he has a little bit of questions about her fidelity also at this time. Maybe she's doing something with Haman. He had questions. But maybe there's something deeper where he gets so angry when he hears not Avdus, but extermination. So the Oev Yisrael quotes from Rav Shri Ragon, a story. Rav Shri Ragon, obviously, before the Rishonim, the Gaonim, Rav Shri Ragon says that in his day there was an Ashir Muflag who had a Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra HaSofer. Unbelievable. Right, how long was Rav Shri Ragon after Ezra HaSofer? Not so long, a couple hundred years, right, after Ezra HaSofer. A couple, seven, right, Rav Shri Ragon lived, about the year 800, 900, 700 years after the Churban, and Ezra was a couple hundred years before that. Okay, but either way, a sefer written by Ezra HaSofer. And he had 2 sons, and when he died, there was a machlokas. Who's going to get this Torah? Each of the sons said, you could have all the money, I just want the Torah. They didn't know what to do. They both realized the value of this Torah. So finally he said, do a goro. They did a goro. And this was in the times of Rav Shri Ragon. And one of them won. One of them, Simcha Gedola Ma'od. Unbelievable. He got the Torah and the other one got all of the money. There was one Mumar in town. Those days there were heretics. There was one Mumar who was so upset that there was a Jew that was so happy to give away so much money just to get the Torah. And he wanted to get it back at this Jew. So one night he goes into the shul and he goes to the pasuk in Shmos Perach of Gimel, V'avatem Hashem Alokechem, you shall serve Hashem, and he changes the ayin to an aleph. V'ibadetem. Destroy as Hashem Elokeichem. And he passed the Sefer Torah. And when they got to this a few weeks later, V'dover Zer, Lonis Vadel Shemada, they got to it, and the Yorish who got the Torah realized, oh, what's gonna, it's terrible. And even if I fix it, it's no longer written by Ezra HaSofer. Because we fixed it, it wasn't Ezra HaSofer, what's gonna be? His father came to him in a dream, and told him everything that happened, and told him it was the Mumar, and it says they took care of the Mumar, Ayin Tachas Ayin, whatever that means. But, Amar lo Aviv, Asher HaSefer Torah lo Yisakin Shum Adam, don't let anybody fix it, Ki Yatza Psach Mi Bezen Shalmala, Ezra HaSofer Ba'atzmo Yisakin Es HaSefer Torah Shalom. V'chein Hoyek Asher Amar Aviv. Okay, it was fixed. But anyway, when Rav Shri Ragon heard this story happened, he says, now I know Pshat. Now I know Pshat of this Pasuk in the Megillah. Why? It must be that Achashverosh wrote La'abdom with an ayin to make them avadim. That's what I'll agree to. But Haman switched it to an aleph and made the la'abdom to destroy them. And that made Achashverosh furious. Who played around with my decree? Who played around with my gzera? And that's why Esther brought it in. She must have known. And then that's why Achashverosh gets so upset. Vayomer amelach Achashverosh. Vayomer le'Esther amalka. Why did they say Vayomer twice? Vayomer le'Esther amalka. Say it once. Says the Eben Ezra right here. Pa'amayim, lahoros shahamelech ka'as miyad. He was extremely angry. And sometimes when you're angry, you say things twice. Who is it? Who is it? Right? Tell me. Right? So he said, but that's what the pasuk's emphasizing. He was just angry. Miyuzeh ve'ezehu, asher melo libo la'asoskein. Who is the one that's doing this? That did what? That did it. Sounds like he did it. So he made the gzeira, but also he switched the words. Matomer la'ester ish tsar ve'oyev haman hara hazeh. Haman is shaken up. Haman is shaken up, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the time of the Krah. He's shaken up because if he would have sat and thought about it a little bit, he could have like been calm and said, hey, Achashverosh, remember, you gave me permission? What are you getting so upset about? Right? According to the Rav Shmuel Gaon, okay, it's a little more tricky. But the pashtus is that he gets upset about the destruction. So if you would have thought about it, but he was nivas. When you're shaken up, you can think straight. Often after situations, we think back and say, oh, I could have said that. I could have done that, but we don't always think that way. We weren't. So, nivas b'lefnei ha-melech v'ha-malka. The Gemara, as we mentioned, the Gemara in Megillah darshins every one of these psukim. The Gemara in Megillah, now we're on daf tes zayin. Every perek is one daf later. The Gemara in the Megillah darshins that when she says, ish tsar v'oyev, haman ara hazeh, really, she was not only going to point to Haman, she was pointing to Achashverosh. V'tomer Esther Shar v'Oyev Haman Arazeh, Amar Belazar, Melamed Shaisa Machveh Klape Achashverosh. Her hand was going towards Achashverosh. You're such a tzaddik. You allowed this. You stopped the Beis HaMikdash. So some say Issar v'Oyev was going to be the Achashverosh, Haman Arazeh was going to be the others. But either way, says the Gemara, Uba Malach V'Satar Yada Klape Haman. The Malach moved the hand. Malach moved the hand. You shouldn't be pointing that way. The Malach moved the hand towards Haman. Says the Manos Halevi, or Shlomo Alkevitz, says, why did she want to point to Achashverosh? What was that going to do? Because if she points to Achashverosh, she was being Moser Nefesh. She says, let him kill me. But the rule was, if there's one of the nation that wasn't around anymore to fulfill the Gzeira and the decree of the king, the whole decree would fall away. So she thought, maybe if one Jew was killed before the time when all the Jews were supposed to be killed, so then there would be no more Gzeira, and in that way she would be able to save Klal Yisrael. Like Rashi says, and therefore that's why she was going to point to him at that in that state. He gets up in anger and he goes to the Ginas Habisan. So you read the Pesach, like, why does he? What? He needs to take a walk. He wants to calm himself down. What exactly is going on here? Why would he go take a walk? So again, the pasuk, the Gemara says, the Gemara dashes every single pasuk in these prakim, as we mentioned. He saw people in the Ginas HaBisan. He saw in the garden, he saw people chopping down his trees of his orchard. They were malachim. They were dressed up like officers in his government. What are you doing? Haman told us to do it. We're chopping down. Haman told us. Okay? That's the, so again, it was building up his anger, what exactly, was doing there. Why the Ginas HaBisan? Right? That's exactly where the original party took place, back in Perek Aleph. So some suggest, or Shlomo Kluger suggests, that maybe he was going there because he realized he's having Rachmanis on Jews right now by killing Haman. So he goes to the Ginas HaBisan and tried to be Ma'or the Kitrug of the Jews sitting eating from the original Suda, right, that he had. The problem was that they already did tshuva for that. They already did tshuva for that, so that it wasn't going to help him. But either way, Haman Amala Vakeshal Nafsho Me Esther Amalka. Haman stands up and starts begging Esther. Right? What was said there? What was he? He was begging for his life. Ki ra, ki kol se'elav ha-ra'a me'is ha-malach, he saw the end was near. Right? The Mefarshim point out, ki kol se'elav ha-ra'a, sofei tevos yudkei vavkei. Ki kol se'elav ha-ra'a. So we mentioned in the previous parak, yavo ha-melech v'haman hayom, Haman on top of the world, who's Rashi tevos, who's pulling him up, Hashem, who's pulling him down, sofei tevos, ki kol se'elav ha-ra'a, he is getting it. The Mishpat Zazav is a fascinating ha'ara, where he says, he's begging Esther Hamalka. Maybe he's doing it as a copy. His great Zayda, Agag, beg Esther's great Zayda, Shaul HaMelech, for Rachmanis. So maybe he's following that. He's saying, maybe just like, you know, Agag, Rashol had Rachmanis on Agag, maybe you'll have Rachmanis on me. Maybe he also thought, some of Farshim explained, that only Jews have the Midah of Rachmanis. Why don't you just go ask Achashverosh for Rachmanis? No, Rachmanim by Shonim Megom Lechazadim. The Gemara in Yevamis, only Jews have that Midah. V'hamelech Shav Miginas Abisan. So he comes back, he had the nice walk, El Beis Mishnah Hayayin. Who knows what he was thinking at this moment? Who knows if he had calmed down? Rabbi Foreman points out in his book, this was the worst thing that could have happened. Esther wanted him in a rage, wanted him not to think, wanted him to act right away, and all of a sudden, he takes a walk. What was going through Esther's mind during this time, these few moments that he was outside? Oh my gosh, I tried everything, and now he takes a walk. Why didn't he just kill Haman on the spot? And Haman doesn't know what's going on. Maybe Haman thinks that, oh, he's going to calm down by the time he comes in. So it's a very trying, pressured few moments. But he goes out to the Ginas Abisan as the Psukim describe. But now he comes back in. V'Haman nofel al amita asher Esther alaha. And Haman's on the bed. Nofel al amita. Rashi quotes the Gemara. A Malach pushed him there. He must have been like maybe on his knees begging her. And then Malach pushed him. Says the Gemara. Asa lebeise Haman nofel al amita. Nofel nafal mi boile. It should be nafal. He fell. Amar Abelazar, Malamit Sheba Malach Vehipilu Aleha. Right? He caused Haman to fall onto her. Rashi, Nofel, Lashon Oseh, Vaholech, Nofel, Verotzel Lizkof, Vamalach Mapilo. He's trying to get up, and Malach keeps pulling him down. Amar Vaimi Besa, Vaimi Bra, says the Achashverosh. Outside is they're cutting down my trees, and inside they're jumping on my wife. Vayomer HaMelech, that's what the Melech says. Right, Hamelach Hagam Lechboshes Amalki Mi Babayis. Right, you want to have my wife also. Right, the Ebenezer here says, on Nofel, he might have just lost his balance. Shayim Etchanenu Mishtachavel Laraglea. She was at her feet. Ukirosoki Shava Melach Nafal Mirov Pachto. Right, the Ebenezer, the Pashtun, says he lost his balance because he was so scared. V'derech Hadrash Yadua. Everybody knows the drash, says the Eben Ezra. Okay, we know it. We mentioned it. So, Hagam Lech Boshes Amalki Mi Babayis. So it went out, Mipi Amalach, Ufnei Haman Chafu. And the face of Haman was Chafu. What does Chafu mean? So explains the Eben Ezra. Hamishar Sim. They covered his face. What do you mean they covered his face? Kichein mishpatei melech paras. Sheyechasu abdi amelech p'nei mi shekasal av amelech. Shlo yirenu od hamelech. The king doesn't want to see you. Doesn't want to your face. They covered his face, and therefore he can't plead anymore. It's done. Vayomer Charvona. Charvona, who earlier in the Megillah was one of the officers of Haman. Vayomer Charvona, echad min asarisim l'fnei amelech. One of the sarisim, said in front of the king, I have a great idea. Remember, Mordechai, your good friend who spoke well about you, why did he build it 50 amos high so he could be sitting at the party and see Mordechai hanging? That's the reason that it was sitting, exactly right, the Hikdim Refuah L'Maka. Omid Beis Haman Gavoa Chamishim Amah. Vayomar Melech Teluhu Alav. The Melech said, Teluhu Alav. So who was this Charvona? So again, the Gemara says, Av Charvona Rasha V'Osa Eitza. He had been a Rasha. Hoya, Kivan Sharash Lon Iskaime Itsaso Miyad Barach. He was a fair-weathered fan. It's like the one who always goes for the winning team. So Charvona was going for Achashverosh and Haman, but once he saw what was happening, he flipped. Right? He flipped. V'chamas HaMelech Shechacha V'chulu. But there are others. The Eben Ezra quotes also Chazal. Eben Ezra says, Elyo Nidma L'Melech Kedemusaris. Elyo Anavi was there. We'll get back to Elio. Just something I forgot to mention. If you look in Rav Nevenzal in Parsha Shmos notes that we say in Shoshanas Yaakov, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai Brucha Esther Vegam Charvona Zachor Latov. Charvona doesn't get a Baruch. Doesn't get a Baruch. There's an Arur Baruch and Vegam. Because even if you give Hakara Satov, says the Rav Nevenzal, you can't put Mordechai and Charvona in the same sentence. Yeah, he's Baruch and he's Baruch. Even being Kodesh LeKodesh, that's the context of his article there, right? You can't be Mevalbel, the Tchumen, even if they're both good. There's great, there's good, there's okay. So there too. He gets a Gam. Gam Charvona Zachu Latov, right? Because he switched over. But what about the other Pshat, Elio Anavi? According to that, the question is, so why do we say Gam Charvona Zachu Latov if it wasn't even Charvona? Charvona might have still been a Russia. It wasn't Charvona at all. So that's the story they say over from Rav Chaim Ivalajin. It's quoted in the Eileh Moadai, right? Rav Chaim Ivalajin had a Kabbalah that he would never make a bracha unless there was somebody there to answer Amen. So one time, it was late at night in the Beis Medrash, he was very thirsty, and he didn't know what to do. And finally, one of his Talmidim walked in, and he said, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in. He made a bracha, he answered Amen, great. The next morning, he says to the Talmud, thanks again for last night. The Talmud's like, what are you talking about? I went to sleep, I wasn't there, and after more research, he realized that it must have been a malach that dressed up like that Talmud that came in so he could say, he could make a bracha. But for the rest of the time that Talmud was in the yeshiva, Rav Chaim Ivalajin gave the Talmud tremendous kavod. And the question, why did he give him tremendous kavod? Why? If the Malach chose this Talmud to dress up like, there must be something special about this Talmud. So if Eliyahu HaNavi chose Charvona to dress up as, so it must be that there's something special about Charvona, and that's why we say the Gam Charvona Zachor, Gam Charvona Zachor Latov. Good. Vayitlu as Haaman al Ha'etz. Haman is hung on the eighth. By the way, the time of the Krah goes through, Rav Chaim Yeshayahu goes through all the different Chazals. He assumes Haman about 95 years old when this takes place, because he was with Mordechai. And how old was Mordechai? He was one of the Sanhedrin. How old do you have to be as part of the Sanhedrin? You have to be members of the all lower Batei Dinim before you get to the Sanhedrin. So he goes through all the years. Asher Heichen leMordechai. The tree that he was making for Mordechai, right? This is a classic, one of the many examples in the Megillah of Venahafochu, of what was, right, what prepared for one, is exactly the opposite. If you look in Rabbi Bernstein Sefer, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein Sefer on Purim, if you look at one of the later Prakim, he talks about how Haman himself caused his own death. Why? Towards the beginning of the Megillah, if you notice, Achashverosh never made any decisions. Should I kill my wife, Vashti? Yeah, that's the advisors. Should I do this? Advisors. What should I do? Every decision, right, was ask the advisors. Until, what happens? They make a new law, which Memuchan suggests. Imal haMelech Tov, Yetze Dvar Malchus Milafanav, V'yikasev B'datzi Parasu Madai, V'lo Yavar Shalot Tavo Vashti L'fnei HaMelech Achashverosh. There should be a Dvar Malchus. What's the Dvar Malchus? Haman, Memuchan is suggesting, why do you always have to ask? There should be a rule. The king doesn't have to speak to the cabinet. The king, if something relates to the king should be able to make his own decisions. And Achashverosh likes that. Why right after that does the Megillah say that Haman was elevated, was promoted to be the chief advisor? Because Achashverosh realizes Dvar Malchus, the royal edict, right? What Memuchan is suggesting is a new type of law. Dvar Malchus, which says that any matter that relates directly to the king can be decided upon him by him alone. And that's why Beviksen and Seresh, all of a sudden he's making his own decisions. The whole beginning of the Megillah, the first parak or two, right? He has to ask, right? Have a party, invite all the girls, but finally he makes his own decisions. The verse states that when the king heard of the plot, he had them both killed, just like that. In earlier times, he would have had to consult with his various panels, but not anymore. Since their plot was directed against him, he could decide their fate, and that's why he elevated Haman. And that's exactly what led to his demise. Because what would have happened in earlier times? You have to have a jury. You have to ask. Haman can maybe has connections and try to talk to them. The king no longer needs to consult anyone if the matter relates to him personally, thanks to Haman. And thus he pronounces Haman's sentence then and there. Vayomer Hamelech Tzuluhu Alav. The Stipler also, in the Birchas Perach in Parsha Shmos, talks about how so often actions in life look one way, and there's exactly the others, right? In Parsha Shmos, throw all the babies into the river. That led to Moshe Rabbeinu getting raised in Paro's home, right? Which was needed for the Geula. V'chein matzino b'haman harasha. Shekol pulos av sha'asa. L'man chazek ma'amado. Every single thing that he did, he said, get rid of Vashti. That left room for Esther Hamalka. He was the one that said, Vashti lo hazminas Esther l'mishta, Ratzalim komba v'chulu, and he was the one that, right, the Medrash says that he wanted his own daughter to be married, but we mentioned in the last parak, he was the one that built the tree. And goes through each of the details. But again, that's exactly what happens here. He gets it on his head. And finally, v'chamas hamelech shechacha, the anger of the king has subsided. Rabbi Foreman notes in his Sefer, this was great, but it was also somewhat tragic. Not tragic yet, but the king's anger subsided, so everything's great. Everything's not great. The gzeira to kill the Jews is still in full force. Remember, the rule in Ma'adei Oparas is you can't take back. So Haman's gone. But the fact that Hamas HaMelech Shechacha, we usually think that's amazing. Maybe it's not so amazing, right? Because the story doesn't end here. There are still three prakim to go in Megillas Esther. We think when Haman is killed, you know, it's all done. But really, it's not done. There's a lot more how Mordechai and Esther are able to still save the day and protect the Jews in this situation. Okay, we will stop here.